It's the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Travis Myers, a cotton producer from West Texas. First off, Roger McCohen, tax law specialist, Washburn University.
This is a one-time voluntary opportunity for farmers as a whole to enroll up to 30 million new base acres based on their 2019 to 2023 planting history. This starts with the 2026 crop year. So the 2025 ARC and PLC are going to be continued to be based on the producer's current base acres, with that increase starting with the 26 crop year. And there's a formula that's involved in terms of how many base acres are increased and then how the payments are going to be adjusted in accordance with that. But bottom line is, the way this works, for people to understand this, is if base acres go up, that means you've got more acres that are eligible for payments, and with the reference prices going up, that's going to put more cash in farmers' pockets.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today we're joined by Travis Myers. Travis is president of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock, and Travis farms in the O'Donnell, Texas area. Travis, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate you having me on today.
All right, a little bit about you and your operation for those who might not know you. It is diversified, isn't it?
Right, we really are. We've got a really nice little family farm going. Me and my wife started this deal 40-something years ago, but we've got both boys involved in and on the farm. One of them takes care of the farm end of the deal, and the other son is primarily cattle operation. So we are diversified enough to be able to do that and kind of keep it separate in a way.
You know, in the past we've talked about some of the challenges you've had from dry conditions, and I do know that one year your prayers were answered for rainfall, but it all came at one time. Maybe a year's worth of rain at one time, and you had water standing everywhere. Has this year been a little more normal for you?
It really has, Tony. Like I say, we started off terribly dry in the spring, you know, and just really thought we were kind of looking at another disaster, and then went to catching some little planting rains and have caught several good rains since then. So we've got a pretty good crop going. Some of it's beat up and thin. You know, we had, when we got those rains, well, we just had a tremendous storm with each one of them, and blowing wind and some hail and stuff, and kind of got beat up a little bit, but it's really bounced back pretty good. And like I say, we're just, kind of sitting here right in the middle of this deal, just needing another rain or two to finish it out. And we ought to make some cotton this time.
Well, let's talk about conditions. That's what you're seeing there, but Plains Cotton Growers really represents the largest cotton growing region, contiguous cotton growing region in the U.S. What are you seeing from neighbors, and are you hearing anything else from across the belt?
Well, I think, unfortunately, for Texas, you know, I think this deal is really spotty, you know, and we're just have been really lucky this time and kind of been in these little patterns of rain. But, you know, we can drive 20 miles in either direction, and it's really dry. And like I say, I really think there's some really nice little pockets of good cotton and crops in areas, but then there's quite a few acres that just never got enough rainfall to get one going.
Our special guest today is Travis Myers, a producer from West Texas, on the Agribusiness Report.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today is Travis Myers, President, Plains Cotton Growers, and a diversified producer from West Texas. Cotton market's stuck in a tight range right now, Travis, but either way, current prices don't pay the bills.
No, sir. We're really, you know, 15, at least 15 cents below our cost of growing this stuff, and so we're certainly nervous about this price, but just hoping that, you know, demand, I think from the economy, you know, being in trouble, this our demand is just down really low right now, and so nobody's, you know, people are buying gas and groceries right now, and maybe not buying as many clothes and home goods as they normally would, but we're just hoping things are looking up, seems like, for our country, and hope that things are going to pick up for us and we can get a little bit better price for this crop.
Well, we did get USDA's World Ag Supply Demand Estimates report, or this WASDE report that came out from the National Ag Statistics Service. I thought it was kind of interesting on cotton as they pulled back the planted acreage across the nation to 9.28 million acres. That's down 8% from their previous forecast, 17% less than what we saw last year. And now they're saying forecast for harvested acreage at 7.36 million acres. That's down from last year. And the production expected to be 13.2 million bales. That's down 8%. They've lowered the yield and they've increased the abandonment. This, am I getting out over my skis by saying no surprise for many cotton producers and those in the cotton industry? We were expecting a smaller crop this year, weren't we?
Yes, sir. I think the commodity prices had a lot to do with that. You know, there was a lot of grain, a lot of hay, and different crops put in just because of this low price. But honestly, we were expecting this acreage to come lower, and I'm not sure that it won't be lower before the end of this deal again. You know, so and like I say, hopefully this price is just going to have to come up and help us out a little bit, I think.
Okay, there are some safety net provisions. There have been some safety net provisions in the past, but you've also been operating on a farm bill that expired a few years ago that just keeps getting, well, extended. That hasn't been enough, from what I hear from the industry, to really provide much of a safety net. But has Congress stepped up and helped with a little better safety net? Is even though you don't have a new farm bill, are things looking brighter on that side?
Yes, sir, they really are. We got several of the provisions that we had been after in our new farm bill. We got them all in this the big beautiful bill, and so that's going to really help us with our bottom line on some of these price supports, and they've also going to redo our crop insurance a good bit and help some more with the subsidies on those levels and give us some more options, you know, about protecting ourselves. So we were very pleased with what we got out of there. We're hoping to go ahead and get the rest of the farm bill done and get it signed and everything. But we were very, very happy about what we've gotten done so far.
Okay, and there was also some assistance passed by Congress, and this was a while back, but has that started making its way to where it's helping?
Yes, sir, it is. We got the ECAP, or part of the ECAP program paid out there in April and May, and they are expecting the August 15th is the deadline for that, but there's going to be some money left over, so we're really hoping that we'll get our remaining 15% of that ECAP money paid out pretty soon. And then they also approved this 23 and 24 disaster plan that everybody's signing up for right now, and that money should be hitting producers' banks pretty quick, and that's going to be a boost that I think everybody nationwide needs pretty badly at this point.
We're talking with Travis Myers, a producer from West Texas, on the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Tony St. James, special guest today, Travis Myers, a diversified producer from West Texas, president of Lubbock-based Plains Cotton Growers. Travis, we're getting to the end of our conversation here, but what else is on your radar? What else are you watching right now?
Well, of course, we're on one of those years, you know, hopefully we're going to just try to finish up by spending the least amount of money that we have to, you know, to get this crop in and stuff, and just try to cut our expenses as much as possible. But I think after some of the things that's happened with our administration and our new Secretary of Agriculture, everybody just seems to be a little more optimistic than they were over these last 3 or 4 years. And so it's kind of bringing a little bit of maybe hope and faith back to us in the farming business.
And finally here, just kind of final thoughts for those who don't know the cotton industry or aren't necessarily involved. Maybe they're in a different row crop sector, corn or beans. Maybe they're in the Midwest. Maybe they're a livestock producer. What would you want them to know about the cotton industry and, the challenges that you've had, but the opportunities? What, if you had an opportunity to sit down with a cup of coffee, with them, what would you share?
Well, of course, we are worried about the future of cotton production, but cotton has been just really good to me and my family throughout the years. You know, it's our number one cash crop. It'll generate more money with the same inputs than any other crop will in our area. You know, we're just pretty limited about, you know, we've got the wild pigs to worry about with grains and some of these other crops, you know, so we're just pretty much geared up for cotton. But we just need to be able to make a living doing it, you know, and I know the government's is tired of bailing us out all the time. So if we could just get some help on these market prices and some of our input prices that have just gone crazy on us in the last few years, well, we can make a living doing this and we can't imagine doing anything different, you know, so we need to get more young people involved. Some of us are getting old enough to think about quitting and we need some younger guys, younger families that'll come in here and take some of this stuff over and keep our farms going and keep our local economies going. You know, this cotton does so much for our little towns and our communities. It's just amazing. So we just want to keep growing cotton. So we just ask for a little help every now and then.
Again, Travis Myers is a producer from O'Donnell, Texas, president of Plains Cotton Growers, headquartered in Lubbock. I'm Tony St. James. This is the Agribusiness Report.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
One way to prevent the spread of Asian longhorn beetle and potential damage to trees, knowing what this critter looks like to report it. A long, shiny black body with white spots about an inch to an inch and a half long, six legs, and antennae that are longer than its body.
If you can, try to photograph the beetle that you found or the tree damage, and that way it'll help our inspectors to know if that is Asian longhorn beetle, or if you can, capture the beetle in a durable container and put it in the freezer, and that way you can help preserve the insect for identification.
Catherine Bronski of USDA's Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service says if you do come across an Asian longhorn beetle or suspect tree damage from this invasive pest,
you can report it by calling the ALB hotline. That number is 1-866-702-9938. There's also a way to submit an online report
by going to www.aphis.usda.gov. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.